This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We are on your radio at 94.1, the free Odyssey app, also streaming live on YouTube. I did go into the YouTube chat.
How was that?
I saw, and there's a comment from Tim, and he said, "Tell Spike I just waterproofed the basement and is the house that he just bought." So thank you to Tim from Groundworks, great WIP sponsor. Was in my house, waterproofing my basement.
There you go.
So I didn't see Tim. I wasn't there, but thank you, because water in your basement, not a great thing. As you know, Ike, water in your basement, yes. Not what you want. So thank you, Tim. Thank you, Groundworks. No thank you to the Philadelphia 76ers, who wasted an unbelievable amount of my time this year as I watched 81 of the 82 games. I did skip the one against the Timberwolves when I was in the dog kennel that
night.
Are
you really committed to the team then?
Unfortunately, yes, I am, unfortunately.
You're never going to get this year back, by the way, Spike.
I know.
Yeah. You're getting older.
Thank God. You don't want this year.
No, I know. Yeah.
It's a total waste of your year.
But look at the hours. I think I did it at some point earlier this year. It's like 2 weeks of hours watching the Sixers this year.
Yeah.
They end up 24-58. If I had asked you at the beginning of the year, what is more likely, the Sixers going 58-24 or 24-58?
I would have said 24-50.
Oh, really? Wow. Over 58-24?
Okay. Negative Ike.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah. Who is crazy, he wins man. One Super Bowl and every other team in the city sucks. Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. So they lost yesterday against the Bulls. They are in that fifth spot in the lottery. They have a 64% chance of keeping their pick, which is top 6% protected. Yeah. They have a 40-some percent chance of top four and a 10.5% chance of getting the top pick. So Daryl Morey and Nick Nurse spoke right after the game, and one would think if they are doing this speech after the season's over, then they're both staying, which Daryl Morey talked about right here.
Coach Nurse and myself will be back, but we're going to... You know, without brand and ownership, assess everything and where we can get better. We owe that to the fans. We owe that to really everyone who cares so much about this team, who stuck with us through this. And I want to thank the fans that have stuck with us.
So people were wondering whether he would get fired. I was pretty firm in saying I didn't think he would. And Nick Nurse, I think people wanted fired too. I don't think either of them deserve to get fired, and I think this is the right thing. I don't know that keeping them is going to change because what happens next year is really just based on whether they're a contender or not. It's just based on whether Embiid can play. Like Nick Nurse, it's hard to fire him after this year. Mm-hmm. Could he have done a better job? Yeah, I guess. What does that mean? Right. I don't know. You know, it might mean they don't even keep their draft pick, to be honest with you, if they wind up winning 37 games rather than 24 games. So, end of the day, I think he lost control of the team, but I also think it was a nearly impossible situation for Nurse. So, what I would say, if I were Morey and deciding whether to fire Nick Nurse, I would ask myself two questions. Do I think Nick Nurse is a good coach? Do I think this year is because of him? Yes, I think he's a good coach. No, I don't think this year is because of him. So, and as far as Morey goes, like, my opinion, last offseason, you were presented with two options. Because you can't keep Embiid without going for the Paul George thing. And you don't get Paul George without getting the Embiid extension. And I think people might say, you shouldn't have done either of them. You should have just traded Embiid. But also, what are you getting if you trade Embiid last offseason? Probably the same thing as you're trading this offseason. Nothing. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was worth a shot. And I thought they did the right thing. It's the same thing I would have done. It didn't work. Sometimes you make the best call you have on the hand that you're dealt, and I think he made the best call he had on the hand that he was dealt, and it didn't work out. And they are where they are, and they're not in good shape. I think there are a lot of teams in worse shape. I think if they need to rebuild, having Maxey, having McCain, potentially having that pick is a nice little start to a rebuild. But I don't know. I don't think Nick Nurse deserved to get fired, and I don't think Daryl Morey deserved to get fired.
Well, I don't think Nurse certainly didn't deserve to get fired. He can't control whether or not his players are injured.
Right.
What's he supposed to do? It's not as if he coached guys and they fell short of expectations. His guys weren't there all year. They were off and on. So I can't necessarily blame him. And even when they were there, they weren't 100%, and they were either coming off of an injury or a rest night, or they couldn't play in back-to-back nights. Like, that's very difficult to have to coach. So I don't really fault Nick Nurse much at all. Daryl Morey, on the other hand, I'm not going to say it's a fireable offense, but he certainly, to me, holds the majority of blame here. Like, if you know, Joshua Harris is going to be an absentee owner and leave everything to Daryl Morey and give him the assets. I mean, the assets that he needs to improve the team, whether it's money or draft capital or whatever, to give him the free reign to do it, then this is essentially Daryl Morey's team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is his team. So it was his idea to go get Paul George. If I'm a fan, I'm saying he has to be smarter with knowing what the projection of Joel Embiid is. And I'm not saying he's going to move on from Joel Embiid, but I'm certainly not going to double down with another maybe player that could put me in an even deeper of a hole. Because Embiid wasn't healthy at all after the injury in Oakland.
Last year,
right?
Yes.
He wasn't healthy. He looked hobbled. We knew he needed some sort of procedure. He was going to play in the Olympics. Like, to me, nothing said Embiid was going to be ready to make a strong run for anything serious next year.
I think that I hear you. I understand.
Now, I'm not saying you don't resign Joel, because you're stuck. You got to resign Joel.
Like, that's
so
the thing.
So that's not what I'm blaming him for.
So I think that
it's more the Paul George thing.
I understand it. To me, the thing is, though, if you're – it's sort of a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation. Mm-hmm. And he has to own it. This is his. It's mm-hmm. his team. He, like, and he's got this year, right? And I don't think it's impossible, by the way, that you see Bob Myers sulking around a little bit more. And I don't doubt that this could be –
those whispers started to become a little louder.
Yeah, and I don't think – I also don't think it's impossible. This is last year. I don't think any of those things are impossible. What I do is I go back to that, and I'm like, okay, well, if I'm re-signing Embiid – and I know I need to capitalize on this year. Like, maybe Paul George, maybe I'm not super confident, but it's better than not getting Paul George, is I think the way that he looked at it.
Sure.
And again, sometimes, by the way, sometimes you make the best bet, it doesn't work, and you get fired for it. You know, at the end of the day, he's just judged on results. Mm-hmm. Like that, and the results were horrible this year.
Yep.
So I can talk in circles and circles about, well, what would you have done? But the result is still the same. Mm-hmm. The result is the team sucked this year. They had to lose on purpose to keep their draft pick, and it didn't work. And it doesn't look like Paul George is going to be anything, and it looks like Joel Embiid may never play another meaningful season in the NBA.
Sure.
And he's the one who decided to double down on it.
Yeah.
And again, I can say from now until whenever, it was still the best chance, even though it's a bet, but he has to own that.
Yeah.
And if you are going to say he's got to own it, his job should be on the line, I can't argue with that at all.
I fault him less about the Embiid stuff, even though it's frustrating, and it would have took some cojones to not re-sign Joel Embiid and have him still here, like, to deal with that every day.
Yep.
So I get that part. It's the George and the other older players they brought in that I'm more or less like, that's where I don't give him a pass there.
So speaking of the older players, he did talk about what he could do better, and this is what he said.
What can I do better? And there's quite a few things there. I would say one of those things is I was very focused on finding veteran-type players who generally perform very well in the playoffs, and I didn't put enough emphasis on the team getting through the regular season. And so next season, for sure, we will be a younger, more dynamic group.
So he's right. Mm-hmm. I think what he did, he said later in the quote, he said, I worried too much about what I needed in the playoffs and not enough to get to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And you have guys like Eric Gordon and Kyle Lowry, who, by the way, in the playoffs could probably help you. But you got to play 82 games to get there. And if you know your best player at best is going to play 60 games, is probably going to play 50 games, then you're going to need, the way the NBA is now,
you're leaning on those guys more in the regular season.
Right, and especially the way that Nick Nurse plays defense. Nick Nurse's defense is all about scrambling to the ball, creating turnovers, and those Raptors teams that even the non-championship ones, the ones that gave us hell every time.
The wing players.
Yeah, they were all running around, slapping the ball away. They felt like every one of them had a wingspan of 10 feet, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And they didn't have that. And hopefully some of the guys that they let play the end of this year, Justin Edwards, hopefully they keep Quentin Grimes. Dembona ended up looking really good, like a serviceable backup.
He can do something, I like him.
You know, so hopefully they learn the lessons of it and they're able
more
to
athletic,
pivot.
I thought. He's about a big man being athletic and coordinated.
Bona, yes.
Yeah.
And we had
most big men like that are clumsy.
We actually had lobs and alley oops and stuff with the Dembona. It was the craziest thing I ever saw. So, and they get Jared McCain back next year. So, you know,
hopefully a top five pick.
Hopefully a top three pick. Hopefully a number one pick.
Top pick.
Yeah. It's easy if you get the number one pick. It gets more interesting if you get the number two pick, because the consensus number two pick is a guard. And then when you go 3 to 6, then it gets even more interesting. Whether you take that player and you play them, whether you take that player and you trade them, you know, whatever ends up happening. So there you go. 215-592-9494. A completely depressing situation with the Sixers. But Daryl Morey and Nick Nurse back. Tasty Cake Dom, you're on WIP.
Hey, Spike. Hey, Ike.
Tasty Cake, what's up, brother?
What's up, Tasty Cake?
Ike, you've influenced my decision on things probably 25 times in the last 16 years.
Yeah, talk to me.
I'm going to attempt to influence you.
Okay.
Okay?
Yep.
So, Ike, just looking at the facts, his last 2 years, Pascal Siakam regressed under this guy, correct? Last year, Tobias Harris was put in the corner. That was very one-dimensional. Buddy Hield could not hit a three, couldn't get on the floor with this guy, and Paul George had the worst career of his life. Now, we're hoping like heck to get lucky and draft Cooper Flagg, right?
Yep.
Do you want this guy coaching a forward?
Mm-mm.
With his history?
Dom. Tasty Cake. Tobias had a worse season this year than he had last year.
What's that?
Tobias Harris's every one of his stats.
To watch him in the playoffs.
Okay. Well, right, because he was on a healthy
team. Did Buddy Hield
team.
Have a worse year this year than last
he
year?
He had a terrible year after the first 10 games.
Buddy Hield had a worse year this year?
He had a terrible year after the first 10 games.
Did Pascal Siakam have a worse year?
I'm not talking. Pascal Siakam is old news, Tasty Cake. You're saying that Nick Nurse can't curse coach forwards. He won a championship with Pascal Siakam and Kawhi Leonard. Two forwards.
The championship card don't work anymore, Spike, because you've killed Doc Rivers 1,000 times, and he won a championship, too. So that card you can't play anymore.
With four Hall of Famers.
Right.
And, how many Hall of Famers were on the team that Nick Nurse coached to a championship? Four?
None, but all the Hall of Famers from
Kawhi.
Golden State were injured.
They still won a championship.
The entire Golden State team was injured.
They won a championship!
Okay.
They won a championship. And if he can't coach forwards, why was Tobias Harris worse this year than he was last year?
Well, I don't see it that way, Spike.
Well, less points, less rebounds, less assists.
And honestly, I didn't watch a lot of Detroit Pistons games this year.
Okay.
I know he was I know this. When Tobias Harris was here, Joel Embiid, Ike, missed a lot of games when Tobias was here, didn't he, Ike?
He did.
And they made the daggone playoffs every year, Spike. They can make the playoffs.
Yes, like last year. Like last year. Like last year. Tasty Cake, did they make the playoffs last year?
They did.
How many games did Embiid play? How many games did Embiid play?
50.
39.
Okay.
All right. So
we round up, though.
Yeah. So he played 39 games.
Okay.
So he played 39 games. Tobias Harris had better numbers in every category. And they also, like, they made a pretty significant trade 2 weeks into the season. They started the season without Harden. And they added players two, 3 weeks into the season. But none of that matters. Did Batum play well last year?
He played.
Did he play well last year?
He was effective.
Okay. Is he a forward?
Yes.
Okay. So I know you don't like Nick Nurse. He's not the reason didn't make the play. I know. But he's not the reason the team failed this year, in my opinion.
Okay. Now, roster-wise, I just want to, informationally, roster-wise, Tyrese Maxey is a ball-dominant guard.
Yes.
Jared McCain is a ball-dominant guard.
He's not.
And Quint. Okay. All right, Spike. I'm sure look that way to me because you watched those games. I watched every one of those daggone games with you. He had the ball in his hands.
Because Maxey was out most of the time.
Okay, so you're saying next year he'll be able to come off the ball.
He is incredible off the ball.
Okay. Spike, you're telling me something that's making me really happy.
I love you. I want you to go to YouTube, and I want you to Google Jared McCain, Steph Curry.
Oh, God, no.
I'm just telling you.
Same player.
No.
I'm just saying he plays similarly.
No.
I'm not saying he's the same player. He plays similarly off ball. Steph Curry is great off ball. That's all.
All right.
Tasty K, you won this round. Of course, Nick Nurse did not do a good job this year.
Mm-mm.
Paul George failed.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
Spike, how could I possibly win a round when the Sixers are my left arm and they lost 58 games? The Eagles are my right arm and my Sixers are my left arm.
Which body part's the Phillies?
Well, they don't want none of my legs because I'm in a wheelchair.
Oh.
We'll talk about my shoulder or something.
We'll have them be your shoulder. Or maybe your, you know.
But, it's called a big dose of D.
Yeah.
I'm just hoping that they can do something next year.
Yes.
And, I know you watch all the games, Spike.
Well, not every game. 81 out of 82 this year.
Yes, yes, I did miss one.
Fraud.
Yeah.
You were defining Nick Nurse's offense. I've never seen a more lackadaisical offense in my life.
Me either, Tasty Kick.
Okay. I mean, you know, they don't play hard defensively.
Mm-mm.
And he doesn't know when to apply pressure and not apply pressure. And he's lost games. I don't know if they were trying to lose games at that point. It was a long time ago, but he lost games. You know, I'll never mention this again this last time.
Sure.
He had 26-point lead. You got the game in the bag. You got seven zone busters on this, and he goes back into his zone. It's
unbelievable.
Can't believe they lost to the Celtics without their best players.
Yeah, Spike, it's in the game. If you have 26, if there's 11 minutes to go in the game,
I'm not. Tasty Cake, God bless you. We can't debate the loss to the Celtics from 3.5 months ago.
I love it, dude. Yes, this is mock radio.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm trying to move up.
Well, it sounds like.
You're the one bringing it up, Spike.
Saying that, Nick Nurse has a great defense. So.
That's not what I said. All right, Tasty. Okay. You got a chick flick, Tasty Cake?
I think that I got to go Barbie, right? With all that fuss and they were having Barbie parties.
Did you like that? Did you see
it? Was terrible.
I didn't see it.
Okay.
I did not see it.
How can that be your go-to chick flick if you've never seen the movie, Dom?
Yeah, I know you're a tough guy, but you got one. You got one you like?
Wait a minute. Spike, I never said I was a tough guy. I'm not trying to be no tough guy. I like to be on the same page as Ike. And
yep.
Most people do.
I normally am. And,
played for the Eagles.
And, you know, he wants Nurse back.
Well, hold on.
Yeah, love Nick Nurse, Ike.
I didn't say I did. Is that what you heard?
Well, you said you wouldn't fire him.
I don't know if he deserves to be fired.
Right, you said he's the best coach in the city.
Spike, I'm going to pray every night now that next year, okay, April, you get the bust I'm going to call, and I hope you get the buck because the Sixers won 63 games.
Well, that's not going to happen.
Nothing will make me happier.
Yeah, 0% chance.
All right, Tasty.
Dead wrong.
Yeah.
See, the
thank you, Tasty.
The problem for you with Nick Nurse?
Yes.
I don't know if he's ever going to do anything significant here. So, well, yeah, how's he, I mean, other than him winning that title in Toronto, like, he's going to be hanging his hat on that for the rest of his coaching career. I don't know if he's going to do anything significant here.
He'll probably get fired here. Good coaches get fired all the time. Mike Budenholzer just got fired. Eventually, every coach gets fired. Taylor Jenkins did a good job in Memphis. I thought overall got fired. Michael Malone won a championship in Denver, got fired. Nick Nurse didn't get fired, but he essentially, you know, in Toronto, basically was like getting fired. I think, you know.
But I would say with those guys, Budenholzer, I mean, listen, they won that championship with Milwaukee.
He did turn that Hawks team with no stars.
I agree. And people, Jack could tell you, that's who I wanted as a Sixers coach.
Budenholzer.
Yeah, they were all up at the same time.
Yep.
Like they were all up at the same time. And that's who I wanted. I don't know, in the NBA, it's hard to tell who's a good coach.
Right.
Right? Like, I'm just saying. If you can't change, if you need an ideal situation, meaning you need star players, then how am I supposed to know you're a good coach if everything relies on the player?
I agree. I think there's probably three, or usually in the NBA, I don't want to pick them out now. Mm-hmm. I think there's probably 3 to 4 excellent difference-making coaches. I think there's probably 5 horrible coaches, and everybody else is in the middle, sort of dependent on whether their team is good enough. And I think Nick Nurse is not one of the 3 or 4 best coaches in the NBA, but I think he's good enough. I don't think this year was on him. I thought he did a good job the year before. We'll see what happens next year. His biggest problem this year, I thought, was that he didn't handle the problems well. Like, I thought
he was frustrated. He
got tense
frustrated.
And frustrated and angry. And his job is to not show that. You know, his job is to be a steadying force for the players, and that's not what he was.
Yeah. Well, we got Brad.
Yeah.
Well, he also went zone when they were up 26 against the Celtics 3.5 months ago.
I just wonder how much of his frustration was because of the players, meaning if Joel is dictating everything, when he's going to be there, when he's not going to be there, is he going to play, is he not going to play, is he a part of meetings, like all the stuff that came out early in the year that Tyrese supposedly addressed. Paul George, how soon did Paul George check out when he saw
what Embiid was?
Yes.
I think, I don't know this, I think Nick Nurse was incredibly frustrated with Embiid.
Yeah.
And disappointed.
It seems like it.
That is my gut.
Yeah.
So coming up next, it's a shame that we don't have the Masters every day.
I agree.
Because the Ike Reese Masters update
is one
of the most famous bits in the history of the WIP afternoon show in our year of doing shows.
Well, and Spike made us wait till 3:30 to talk about it.
All right. Screw you, Jack. The final Ike Reese Masters recap is next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. I need you to make a remix without this guy. I'm begging you.
This guy sucks.
He sucks. Get me in the hook. It's the song of the year. Always gonna boom, 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 boom. Never gonna doom, doom, doom. Ohio. Ohio. I got to keep on reason. There we go. It's a WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Coming up in 30 minutes. We're less than 2 weeks away from the NFL draft, Ike Reese.
Yeah, buddy.
Coming up right at 4, Brian Baldinger will join us. Get some thoughts from Baldy.
Baldy!
You know he grinds tape. You know that's what he is. He's a tape grinder.
Tape grinder.
But we need to grind ourselves a little fairway action right now.
Oh, let me
grind it.
A tradition unlike any other. Ike Reese on the Masters.
Well, first of all, let me just say, that's a terrible introduction to this.
Awful.
Not you.
Okay.
I mean, having that big Justice and AJ nonsense played before Nance comes
They're
on.
Cooked.
Yeah.
All right.
Only 11 more times we'll be able to hear Jim Nance.
A tradition unlike any other. I'll tell you, man. You know, sometimes there are events that going into the event, there's so much hype around the event that it rarely meets expectations.
Mm-hmm.
But Jack knows. We've talked about the final day at Augusta, coming down the stretch.
Yes.
The second nine.
The back nine, some say.
Yeah. I got corrected when I called it the back nine.
Why?
They told me it was the second nine.
Well, they should shove it.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Sorry, I've always heard back nine.
I didn't mean to raise my voice.
I agree, though. Oh, here's the thing. What a final round did we have yesterday. Rory McIlroy. We left you Friday, Spike.
Yes.
Rory was nowhere near the leaderboard.
Right.
By the end of the day, he was. And boy, did he take advantage over the weekend. He came into Sunday's Masters with a two-stroke lead, I believe, over Bryson DeChambeau. Spike?
Yes.
That two-stroke lead was gone after one hole.
One hole. Wow.
That's all it took.
Did he bogey and the other guy birdie?
Double bogey. First hole coming out the gate.
Only player in Masters history to win it with four double bogeys.
Mm. Wow. He tried to choke.
So for those of you who don't know about Roy's history, there's been some collapses in his history.
Wow.
So he was starting to get the reputation as a guy who couldn't finish.
To me, golf chokes are the best chokes. Mm,
well, they really are. Yeah, well, I tell you, when you talk about having an up and down round, Rory McIlroy had an up and down round. He bounced back quickly, birdie in the third and fourth hole. So he gets the lead there. He makes the turn with a birdie at 9 and 10, going up four strokes. It looks like Bryson DeChambeau.
Please lower your voice.
You're right. Looks like DeChambeau was the one that's collapsing under pressure. He's 4 or 5 strokes off the lead. And here it is going into the second nine. It looks like Rory is going to have a cakewalk to his first ever green jacket. But Augusta, don't play that. And every stroke that she gave you Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, she was looking for revenge on Sunday. And she was taking strokes back. All right. Rory down the stretch hit a couple of shots. First of all, let's get to 13.
Did you say she was taking strokes back?
Not what I said. Okay. That's a different read.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's get to the 13th hole.
Okay.
Par 5.
What happened?
We're just making a round at a man's corner.
Mm-hmm.
DeChambeau, come on. On the 11th, tournament over for DeChambeau in the water.
Choker.
Rory has decided he's going to play it safe, Spike. That's when Augusta takes her bite out of the apple. So what does he do?
What does he do?
Third shot. Par 5. All he needs to do is lay it up there. That's third shot. He's 80 yards out from the flag.
Seems easy.
What does he do?
He choked.
Oh, palms got sweaty.
Oh, no.
Man, shanked it right in the water. And this is where everyone thought the collapse was coming.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, I saw
people tweeting about it.
Justin Rose, who had the lead out of the first two rounds, thought his weekend was over with it. There's no way he can lead all 4 days and win a tournament. So he's just laying in the weeds. Next thing you know, he birdies 16 to tie Rory McIlroy.
Please lower your voice.
You're right. I'm sorry.
Stone cold killer Justin Rose.
I tell you, Justin Rose. I tell you, Spike, then there was a shot on 15. Man. Second shot, par 5. He's going for the green and 2. Remember, shades of Tiger Woods.
On back-to-back days.
Wow.
Hit a shot. He's walking it down. Hit it to within like 8 feet.
Spike, he hit a draw around the trees.
I don't know what that means.
It's an impossible golf.
Yeah. He like curved it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Low into the left.
Wow.
I know what that's like to have that curve.
Yes.
Man, I tell you. Some people appreciate it. I tell you, you get to 10 feet away from the hole.
All right, okay.
Oh, back to all this, right. Okay.
All 10 right. feet away from the hole.
Yeah, everyone lower their voice.
Yeah, relax in there.
Yes.
With an eagle putt there to really put the tournament out of reach.
Did you tell me to relax?
Of course he does not eagle it. He birdies it.
Of course.
Okay. He goes up. All right, so we get to the 16th hole. I'm telling you, I'm thinking we're cruising here, Fritz. Roy's going to win his first green jacket.
Yeah, it's over.
No problem.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
He's got a 1-stroke lead.
Okay.
Going into the final hole, Spike.
Yes.
But before you get to the final hole, Justin Rose hit a 70-foot putt.
A Canadian.
To get to English. 11 under.
Oh, he's not a Canadian.
To get to 11 under.
Wow.
1 stroke behind Rory McIlroy going to the 18th. All he needs to do is put it in the fairway, 2-putt. And we are home with the green jacket. Not to mention, plus 650, before the tournament, plus 1,200 Friday when he was down six strokes. Somebody was looking at a nice little payday yesterday. All I needed was for Roy to bring it home.
Oh, this is about you now.
Oh, no. Did I say me?
Yes.
I meant somebody else.
Okay.
And me.
Fritz.
Okay.
Beautiful shot off the tee.
Okay.
To the fairway.
Yeah.
All we need is to put this thing on the green. Yeah. Two putt. Mm-hmm. And we're good to go.
And?
Can't bogey.
Okay.
If he bogeys,
yeah,
we're going into the playoff.
Uh-oh.
Against Justin Rose. Second shot in the bunker to the right.
Oh, my
classic
God.
Rory.
Classic Rory coming down the stretch. I'm seeing money just flush down the toilet.
Yeah, you. Yeah.
For you.
Man. Actually has a nice bunker shot out to about, what would you say, 8 feet?
Less than 10 feet, yeah.
Are we still talking about golf, guys?
Yes.
Okay.
Puts this shot in. We got the green jacket. But Roy, what does he do?
He choke again.
Missed the putt.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Bogeyed the hole. We got a playoff.
Doesn't sound like this guy deserved to win, to be honest.
He did.
He deserved to win.
Shut up, Spike. Okay.
Deserved to win.
Choked.
They go to the 18th hole. They had to replay the hole.
Why?
Because the playoff
tied.
Oh,
keep up. Death, they're tied.
Did they just keep playing one hole
just
until
one
somebody
hole.
Wins?
Yes.
Sudden death.
Sudden death.
Yes, sudden death.
Both guys, nice shots off the tee. Oh, Justin Rose hits a nice shot into the green.
Yeah.
Would you say, Jack, about 15 feet?
I'd say 15 feet.
About 15 feet away. Roy needs a great shot inside of that. Boy, I'm telling you, like the great player that he is, he delivered in the clutch.
Stuck it.
Oh, hit the slope, played the slope.
Relax over there.
Brought it back. Yeah. What was that, 3 or 4 feet?
Had to be.
Now, Jack and I could tell you, we lack very little confidence in Roy making his 4-foot putt, his 3-foot putt.
Everyone at the party I was at.
Because he's a choker. Yes.
Everyone's saying, we missed this putt.
Yes. Lo and behold, it was Roy's day.
Wow.
Roy McIlroy sinks the 3-foot putt.
And finally wins.
Finally wins.
Even though he choked a bunch of times.
His first green jacket to become only the 6th player in golf history
career
to have
grand
a career
slam.
Grand slam.
Mm-hmm. Spike, 11 years in between majors, Spike.
I got to tell you, Spike.
Yes.
I couldn't do the justice that needed to be done. Explaining what happened yesterday.
It did seem dramatic.
Man.
I wasn't watching.
And it was even better.
Yeah.
And watching it in person.
One of the best matches of all time.
Man.
Really?
My goodness.
Wow.
That's why we wait for Sunday at Augusta.
That's why it's so special.
Yes.
Yes.
A tradition.
Unlike any other.
Unlike any other.
Even though it's not sports, really.
All right.
All right. There it is.
Oh, man.
Wow. Well done, Ike.
I do that.
Well done.
A little long-winded, but I had to get through the whole round of golf as fast as I could.
I think we got to bring these back for all the majors, actually. The Ike golf updates.
You want the PGA Championship? The
sure.
Open Championship?
Oh, yeah, we're open people.
And the British Open?
The British Open? Yeah, come on. Yeah, what a day of golf.
Hold on.
What a day of golf.
The British Open is the Open Championship.
Oh. Yes.
It's the U.S. Open.
Okay.
And the Open Championship.
All right. Exactly. Well, we're a USA
show. It's not really
called
the British Open. It's the Open.
The PGA Open. Championship, yeah.
Yeah, and then you got the PGA. Hold on, don't poo-poo that.
Well, it counts, but
yeah, we're going to be there next year.
Next year, of course. Can't wait for it. I'm just saying that the other three have
the man's literally reading
I can't wait for
the PGA Championship.
Yeah, but I've always said that the other three just...
It's the fourth major of the majors.
It's the fourth major.
Yes.
But it's a major. I wouldn't...
It's
you know,
major.
Just me to you is trying to...
I get it.
You know, I try to help you
it's
out every once
amazing.
In a while. Yeah, talk
yes.
about how great that tournament
well, it's
is.
It's an amazing
moron.
Tournament.
Yeah.
All right, I'm just saying. It's a great tournament.
Yeah.
And Aronimink's amazing. I'm just saying that. Never mind. It's a great tournament.
Are you talking about National Appliance Warehouse? You're going to say, hey, they're the fifth best.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Because everyone knows the National
It's
Appliance.
Good, but fourth. Well, yeah, never.
I can't even whisper when talking about National Appliance Warehouse.
Yeah, come
I get
on.
So excited.
Get a little energy here, Jack.
Well, you got to bring it back up because you guys brought it all down.
I didn't.
Blue Chew's help.
Nah, listen, we'll get there. Listen, builders, designers, contractors, we know you're working hard out there for your clients. And when they need appliances, there's only one place to go. That's National Appliance Warehouse. Spike's a customer.
I am. Whole kitchen.
My parents are customers.
Really? Legitimately.
I know it.
Yeah, it comes on Thursday. I'm pretty psyched.
I can tell. Your voice is in the old.
Yeah. The microwave. I didn't know they made microwaves where you could lift the top up. It comes out in the drawer.
Microwaves are heating up, man.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, literally, no.
This isn't the old school microwave.
No,
it's the wow
no.
You
pull it out of the drawer. Yeah, it's awesome. Anyway, go
pull
ahead.
What out of the drawer? Never mind.
Sorry, I had no idea.
No, listen, you can get it all at National Appliance Warehouse, even a microwave that pulls out of the drawer.
It does.
Okay. Yeah. No, it's great. So from
the oven I got has an air fryer in the oven.
Oh, wow. That's a pretty advanced, okay. That's right. An advanced oven.
I'm stopping.
An advanced oven.
Whose endorsement is this?
Ned, mine.
I'm sorry. I never shop for appliances before.
Are you excited? You're excited about this and the TV. You know, you're excited about
a lot of stuff. A lot
like
of stuff.
Like he's never lived in a house before.
Yeah. Well, that's the first time I got to pick out all the stuff.
Listen,
right,
and when you go to National Appliance Warehouse, again, Spike experiences, you walk in, 15,000 square foot showroom, over 100 brands from sub zero to budget. You can get an awesome little oven. That's great. A whole lot and a whole lot more. Also, listen, you're going to get the best price. It's guaranteed by Price Assure, a piece of technology specific for National Appliance Warehouse that instantly updates price tags all throughout the store. Also, Delaware. Being in Delaware helps. And of course, they always have great savings events and they always have industry-leading consultants. They're there to help you. They're engaging. They're smart. They're fun. It's good people down at National Appliance Warehouse. Visit nationalappliancewarehouse.com or their showrooms in tax-free Wilmington or Middletown, Delaware today. And as always, tell them Fred sent you.
The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. For the best selection of diamonds to fit every budget, visit the home team at Mark's. Experience the difference at marks-jewelers.com. Here we go. Are you glad Nick Nurse and Daryl Morey are coming back next year? Wow, you really framed this in a way that, are you glad they're coming back? 84% say no, 16% say yes. 215-592-9494. Even me, who endorses them coming back, I don't know if I would say I'm like, glad. Aaron in Mount Airy, you're on WIP. What's up, A?
What's up, fellas?
What up, A?
You got me? Yo. Okay, make sure you got me. Like, did I got background noise?
Oh, my goodness gracious.
It's the shot of Corey.
Oh. All right, Bronny.
Yeah, nothing gets past me.
Yeah.
Go ahead, A.
You got me?
All right.
Yes.
No, I think there's something wrong with Aaron's phone, actually. Oh. Yeah, though it's very funny. Chuck in Mount Airy, you're on WIP. What's up, Chuck?
Yeah, I'm the right guy you're supposed to go to from Mount Airy. You know what I mean?
Like, let's. Okay.
Pike, Spike, what's going on? How you feeling?
What's up, Chuck?
Did you watch the Masters yesterday, Chuck?
What'd you say?
Did you watch the Masters yesterday?
I don't even watch that crap.
Oh, it's unbelievable tournament.
I don't watch none of that's holding the crowd back with a rope and you got to whisper when you talk about the sport. I'm good.
Thank you. Know you. This is something you and I are on the same page with, Chuck.
Yeah, I'm good. That's not my tip of tea. You know, everybody, you know, your own tip of tea, go do your thing. But that's not my, that's not
it's
what
a
I
cup
do.
Of tea.
I don't, you know, I mean, that's.
Your own tip of tea?
Yeah, tip of tea. You know, the tip of tea is the deep tea bag. You know, when you sip.
I don't think that's what it's called at all. Have you ever had tea?
Are we starting this at 3:45 now instead of 4:30?
A tip of tea?
Oh, man.
Yeah, I'm not going to give you tea classes right now. That's what I'm calling for.
Tea classes with Chuck.
Philly stink, you hear me? And let me say this, right?
You know, get it off your chest.
Please, let me say, because you guys seem to, you know, Spike got a quick hook on me. He let, you know, I tell you the callers, he let just ramble on. Corey from Columbus, so-called leadoff hitter, he just ramble on. All these guys, you know, Herb just ramble on. I got something I got to say, man. You know, I mean, Tasty Cake, Dom, all these guys. Listen, I got this to say, man. This is, they are a complete embarrassment. You know, the Eagles are not. But the Phillies and the Sixers are a complete, utterly embarrassment to Philadelphia, okay? And I said a couple of days ago, Spike Knight, Jack, that they are not in Sixers territory. Well, I lied. They are. You know, it's kind of just like a gambling addict or something, or somebody's addicted to something. You have functional ones, and then you have ones that just completely, their life is completely done and they need help. Well, the Phillies are just a functional one. You know, they make it look good, and make people come out to the stadium still, buy tickets, and they don't have no chance in hell of winning anything, okay? They have too many questions, and I said it. A platoon outfield, you know, you got a guy that's leading off, got a guy that's not leading off one day, got a guy that's leading off one day, no consistency there. The manager is, where's Waldo? You know, he don't know what the hell's going on. He just want to be friends with everybody in the clubhouse. You got Bryce Harper, you know, whom I love, but I don't have to keep prefacing that. But he won't take his ass out to the outfield, you know what I mean? So we can better this team and get a real first baseman. You know, you got Trey Turner, you know, who stinks at being a shortstop. Like I told you, he's defense suspect. He don't want to go in the outfield. You know, it's just enough, man. You know, and it's so sad because guys like Bryce Harper or Willard, they're not going to win a championship here. They're just not. And the GM, he don't want to make any moves. You know, not even bringing up, as, you know, as small as bringing up a guy that's ready to come up from the minors. And that's Andrew Painter. You want to bring him up. You're waiting to bring him up. Why? What are we going to lose?
Because he's coming back from Tommy John surgery, Chuck.
Yeah, I hear you. But listen, what's the difference between June and April?
What do you think? What do you think the difference? What do you think the difference would be?
Rehab.
It's 2 months. Listen, I bring the guy up.
Okay.
Bring him up. Bring the guy up.
He's had one start in Clearwater, Chuck. He's had one start in Clearwater. He just had reconstructive surgery on his elbow.
Get him up here. For what?
Listen.
So we'll have something we're excited about. Talk to him, Chuck.
It's not going to.
Taiwan hasn't allowed a run yet.
You listen to what. Well, don't bring him up at all then. What the hell? Don't bring him up in June then. If this is what you're talking about bringing the guy up, just don't bring him up at all then. You know, I'm just saying the Phillies are completely done. I told you what they're good for. You know, and anybody who thought they were going to be good.
All right, then enjoy them that way, Chuck. Knock yourself out.
No, I'm just saying, you know, it's just they sold us a bill of goods. And you know, and I'm not doing my old call about them. But they're just, you know, they're pathetic, man. And they came back with the same team. If anybody who thought they was going to come back and be good this year, you come back with the same roster, you're an idiot or you're just ignorant to the game. You know what I mean? They had the same team that laid down to a Mets team that was average. And it was going to bleed over into this year, and I told you that. And that's exactly what's happening. They started off good, but they're coming right down to where they're supposed to be. And I tell you, they're not going nowhere this year.
They're
a done deal. Okay? Now the Sixers, all right? Daryl Morey had one job to do since he's been here. I want to say thank you to Daryl Morey and Joel Embiid for giving us probably arguably the worst season ever in Sixers history. Okay? And the reason why I say the worst season ever, because of the potential that we had going into this season. The hype, you know, the bill of goods that they sold us, and it turned into this garbage. You know, he had one job to do, Spike, and that was to take this team and become a champion team, or at least get them over the hump. And he failed to do that. Somebody has to be held accountable. This is the show of accountability, right?
Yep.
So if you are,
we need that accountability, just accountability.
Accountable for what's going on right now. This is basketball negligence. I'm telling you, that guy Joshua Harris, and I don't have a problem with Joshua Harris. God bless him. If you want to make $1 trillion, I've never been one to count somebody's money. But he has an obligation to this city. And just to run this thing back, with everybody coming back, just the old status quo is lazy and is negligent and is pathetic. You're going to bring back a guy that you know can't get you over the hump in Joel Embiid.
What do you? How would you get rid of him, Chuck?
Every year.
How would you get rid of him?
What do you say?
How would you get rid of him?
How would I get rid of Joel Embiid?
Yes. This thing that you want them to do, how are you going to do it?
He made it much more difficult to do that, Daryl Morey. This is what I'm getting to. I'm not, listen, this call is not about Joel Embiid. So don't start coming at me.
No, it wasn't about Joel Embiid. I don't know how you.
Let me finish what I'm saying. You know, this is accountability time, all right? The season is over. I heard the stupid-ass press conference. They have no plan for the future at all, okay? As a fan, this is frustrating. And I'm trying to tell you, Spike, Joel is a part of this, but I don't know how to trade him now. I don't know how. I don't know what to do. But you don't sign him to another extension. You know what I mean? That made it more difficult. But that's already done. It's already done. But then you go out and get Paul George that's over the hill, and then you try to sell us and say that this guy is going to be just as good as he was this year, you know, and the Phillies, or the Sixers rather, be just as good next year. We're going to bring everybody back. That's exactly what Daryl Morey was saying. We're going to bring everybody back. We're going to trust Joel. We're going to trust Paul. We're going to trust Tyrese Maxey. We're going to trust these guys back. Bring Nick Nurse back. Nothing changes. Nothing. While Joshua Harris is down Virginia somewhere twiddling his thumbs, you know, not worried about what the Sixers are doing, Philadelphia fans are being sold a bill of goods that they're going to be just as good next year as they were this year. And that ain't good enough. So what I'm saying is it's over, man. You know, I don't know what to do, Spike. I just know that Joel Embiid ain't the answer alone no more.
Okay.
And Daryl Morey is the one, the blame for this. He needs to be fired. That's what I'm getting to.
Okay.
He needs to get fired, man.
All right. I don't agree. But good. But I understand your position. But I don't agree.
Now give us your chick flick.
I know.
Give us your Chick-fil-A.
But how can you not agree?
Because I already explained why I didn't agree. And I, like, I don't, we give us your Chick-fil-A.
Man.
See? I understand his point. I don't agree with it.
He wanted a little more from you.
Well, I don't, he doesn't.
No, he did.
All right. He doesn't think.
But then when we do that, then he doesn't call for a while.
Yeah, he gets mad.
He gets mad because he feels like he doesn't get heard. He wants to go back and forth with Spike.
Well,
that's why he sat there and paused. He was waiting on you to come back.
If you think the guy should get fired because they had a bad year, right. I understand. Yeah. I understand. I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's where it is.
I was going to say that was impressive by you.
What?
To not fall for the thing. There. Yeah.
The baseball thing. Football season can't come quick enough for Chuck.
Both of y'all. You think I didn't notice what y'all just did there?
Yeah. Come on, that was very calculated.
You didn't even acknowledge his baseball thoughts.
Would never.
No, I tried.
I know.
I did get in his ear, I said, you do it.
Yeah, no. He didn't even acknowledge his baseball thoughts.
I tried.
I know.
He wants a little pushback.
Whatever you think.
All right. So next time, Chuck,
I'm in.
We'll spar a little bit.
If he wants to yell at me about the Eagles, it's okay, though.
Yeah, you're good at it.
Well,
listen, only one of us is the face of this place. What do you want us to do? And they just won the freaking Super Bowl.
All right. You know what? I'm taking this. I'm taking the feedback with an open mind. I won't argue with him about baseball because I don't think he knows what he's talking about. But basketball, I will certainly argue with him.
Yeah, listen, not doing it. Love John, not doing it. You can, everyone else can entertain it.
215-592-9494. What is your worry level with the Phillies? Are you very worried? Starting to get worried? Not worried at all? I'm not worried at all. I borderline very worried.
Yes, I'm close to very worried.
Baldy joins us next. Talk a little Eagles draft.
Is he worried about the Phillies?
Probably not.
Say, yeah.
Yeah, probably not. Baldy joins us next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.